Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my dear wife and best friend, Sheila Crawford. Just a reminder that all of our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net, a surplus of knowledge that we anticipate you will share with others. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Abba, Father, as we approach the season of Passover, may we reflect not only on your historical miracle at the Red Sea, but even more so the fulfillment by your Son's resurrection on the same anniversary date. And because he lives, we can live forever, if only we believe it. We pray for those recent petitions and the prayers of those listening right now, especially those suffering from severe diseases and our unsaved loved ones who have the worst disease called unbelief. Bless the teaching tonight, and may it be to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And before we begin, dear, could you tell our listeners how they can give us their prayer requests and end time questions, or just even comments about the program?
Yes, there are three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And we do appreciate your much-needed love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
You know, besides the airtime, there are other expenses, and not much is coming in to cover it all. So please consider any donation at this time.
Yes, we do appreciate it. And a reminder, all the programs are archived on our webpage, as well as the newsletters. And the first Friday of every month, we meet at Chester Christian Center in Chesterton, Ohio at 7 p.m. Okay, what's going on in Israel? I heard about a bus bombing or something.
Yes, the attacks are picking up again, and it's probably due to Passover beginning on Friday night. They are expecting many more over the season. Also, the Golan Heights, or the Ancient Heights, as Ezekiel 36 refers to it, is in the news this week. Israel is being heavily pressured once again to give it up, turn it over to Syria, who everyone knows is being controlled by Russia and Iran, who wants to annihilate the Jewish people. Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has been here at this juncture many times before and has actually agreed to a deal in the years past if Syria would break ties with Iran, of course, knowing all along that Assad would not. But now it's a different playing field. It's questionable if Assad will remain. So it's really Russia as the main negotiator, who, as you know, is an ally of Iran. And the main players of Ezekiel 38, you know, that war of Gog and Magog, that says their armies will come from the north, where the Golan Heights sits and is a very strategic area. But Bibi is a smart man and has recently and publicly said, oh, it's just not going to happen. However, scripture says it will. And Putin has summoned Bibi to come to Moscow this Thursday to talk. And rumor has it, Putin will in no uncertain terms relay to Bibi that if he refuses to give up the Golan Heights, heavy sanctions will be applied from the UN. And by the way, Obama will not veto the move. So this is an urgent matter to them before Obama leaves office. So they must and they will push Bibi pretty hard. Also, two anti-Israel resolutions will be presented to the UN Security Council to be put to a vote this Friday. Yep, the beginning of Passover season. And it's to stop construction in the settlements And the other is actually by France to divide the land entirely into this two-state solution planned, as you know, for quite some time.
Again, Obama has veto power, but no one expects him to use it.
Correct. Dear, could you read Ezekiel 36, verse 1 and 2, and also verse 7? And this, of course, takes place before the tribulation.
And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you, Aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath that surely the nations that are around you, you shall bear their shame.
And verse 6, and I believe that's in Ezekiel 38, as I've already mentioned, says that they will be coming from the north. And that's where the Golan Heights sits, with, of course, the two major players being Russia and Iran, or Magog and Persia.
It's really amazing to be living in such a time as this and to witness it all firsthand, scripture coming together like this.
I know, right? I mean, it's really very exciting.
It is.
That is, if you personally know Jesus. And if you don't, I gotta say, you're pretty foolish.
Extremely foolish.
The other point I want to make is, as I said last week, the Jewish Bernie Sanders, who in my mind is a fake Jew in name only, and who hates Israel, has now met with the Pope, and just by the Pope inviting him to the Vatican is like an endorsement without saying it out loud, which he's, of course, not supposed to do before an election. But the two socialists get along very well. And we'll be discussing this further as weeks go on. But for you that listen regularly, you probably perceive what I might be thinking. Also, lots of rumors about a new currency coming soon. Uh-oh. To replace the collapsing dollar. Some say it might all be digital, but I don't think so, probably until the tribulation. And lastly, you have probably heard by now, praise the Lord, that the arches to the Temple of Baal has been stopped, at least for now. An alternative called the Arch of Triumph will be erected in London, but not again in New York. I say again, because there are already many arch monuments, but I say, praise the Lord. However, as I said 2 weeks ago, today does begin a 13-day dark period of time known as the blood sacrifice to the beast that culminates on the high occult day of Beltane on May 1st, or better known as May Day.
Yeah, today has been described as the Illuminati's second most sacred holiday.
Well, yeah, and the first being Halloween. But isn't it just so coincidental that right in the middle of this time frame, Christians and Jews commemorate Passover, which memorializes another sacrifice, and this is Jesus' blood sacrifice to our God. Satan tries to duplicate everything good and then pervert it to his own glory.
Yeah, there are no coincidences. Passover begins Friday at sundown.
Yes. So Saturday will be the first full day. Then Sunday not only begins the 7-day Feast of Unleavened Bread, but because it's a Sunday, is also the Feast of First Fruits, or as we like to call it, the Feast of the Resurrection to us Christians.
And Jews, they don't recognize first fruits anymore. It's not even on their calendars. Why is that?
Well, the halakhic law explanation is because it's an offering, and since there is no temple, it has been suspended till the temple is rebuilt. Although they still memorialize the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it calls for daily offerings as well.
You did say last week you thought it could be because the Christians celebrate it as the resurrection of the Christ.
That is a suspicion of many, but we covered first fruits last time, so tonight we better get moving, and let's look at the last day of the whole 8-day spring feast season, because the eighth day is a special date and certainly not understood or thought about. But I like the details in the Word of God, and God wants us to dig for them. And I say this often, but what does he say in Proverbs 25:2 for the kings and priests, which we are, and we're called that in Revelation 1?
It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out the matter.
That's right, and that word for matter is number 1697, and it's debar, which means a word or a thing spoken. So it's to search out the word.
Okay, one more time. Passover is the first day.
And although they call it the 8 days of Passover season, biblically, Passover is only the first day, which is Nisan 14. And it's not a holy day because it was needed as a day of preparation, not only for the 7-day feast coming, but to rid the house of all the leaven, which is a picture of sin, and to make meal preparations for the Seder that night.
The next day at sundown, the 15th of Nisan, begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which goes for 7 more days till sundown on the 22nd of Nisan.
Yes. Okay. So on our calendar, because the days change every year, Passover Eve is this Friday night,
which was the night of the Last Supper for Jesus.
But that year, it was a Wednesday night, and then he died on Thursday, which also began the 7-day Feast of Unleavened Bread. So this year on our calendar, the Unleavened Bread begins Sunday and is also the Feast of First Fruits, or Resurrection Sunday, because the Bible is clear that the first fruits always falls on the Sunday during the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
So bottom line, this Sunday is the real resurrection.
Yes.
And not last month on the pagan day they call Easter from the goddess Ishtar.
Amen.
So what historically occurred? So what historically occurred on the eighth day of the spring feast?
I know you know this, but thanks for asking. John the Baptist was born on the first day called the Passover, and therefore circumcised on the eighth day. Interesting that only those 2 days were considered high holy days. It is the same scenario with Jesus. On the first and the last days of Tabernacles, which was an 8-day feast, they're both high holy days. So the birth and the circumcisions are important, and the circumcisions are a type of the blood covenant God and then Jesus made with his people. And oh, by the way, we can then also conclude that John the Baptist was conceived at Pentecost. Do the math.
And why not? He was filled with the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth's womb. Luke 1:15.
Yes, it certainly says that. Amen. Okay, well, let me show you how to see it for yourself. Being a teacher, I like to make sure you understand. But all is needed is for you to connect the dots, which when you intertwine just a little Old Testament Hebraic roots with New Testament scripture, it's not that difficult. So please listen attentively, and you shouldn't have a problem seeing this too. And remember, you can always re-listen to this program on shofarministries.net. I have to say, I have learned a wealth of information by understanding just one verse in the Gospel of Luke, and it's in the very first chapter in verse 5. And that for years, I just read it and moved on, as I'm sure many of you have done as well. But let me read it to you. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, I have explained this many times before because knowing this bit of Hebrew roots can tell us when Jesus was born as well. The key words here are of the course, or some use divisions, of Abijah, but that's the name. As you well know by now, nothing in Scripture is without good reason. We learn here that John the Baptist's father was of the Levitical priesthood of the family known as Abijah. Therefore, which actually means, Abijah means Father Yahweh. Therefore, so was John the Baptist. Now, there were 24 families or courses of Levitical priests, and each course served 1 week, twice a year, in temple servitude, and they all served during Passover and Tabernacles. The family name of Abijah, according to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 24:10, was the eighth course that began in the first week of the biblical calendar Nisan. Course can also mean week. Again, Chronicles 24 tells us each week which family husband would be serving. God set this up, and as you will see, for a very important reason. Because, as I said, nothing in Scripture is there incidentally. But he put it in there so you would know it. So don't ignore it. So, by this knowledge, we know when Zechariah served in the temple, and therefore, from Luke 1:13, received his revelation that Elizabeth would finally conceive and to name him John. They've been looking for a son for a long time. So we know that each Levite family served 1 week twice a year according to the order David, directed by God, told them. And one more important dot. Three times a year, all the priests would serve during Passover, on Pentecost, and during Tabernacles. So Zechariah would have served the eighth week plus the week at Passover, which would have been the ninth week. And that, of course, was of the biblical year, which brings you to Pentecost. Now, if you get any Hebrew calendar and count 9 weeks beginning in Nisan, and you will come to the time of Pentecost when all would serve, but only one would burn incense, which would be the prayers. So they would cast lots amongst them to see who would actually have the privilege to burn the incense for the prayers to Yahweh. And surprise, it was Zacharias. Who knew? But he so wanted a son very much, and now would have a chance to directly pray to God to have it. And of course, his prayers were heard, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him that Elizabeth would conceive that same night, because Scripture uses the Greek words metatata in verse 24, which means immediately. So then, 280 days later, brings us to Passover, when he would have had to been born. It all fits like a glove. It's so exciting. It's just so exciting. Anyway, it is interesting that a tradition at the Passover Seder meal is to set a special place for Elijah and to open the door to welcome him. Well, didn't Jesus say in Matthew 11 that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah? And also in Luke 1:17, Zacharias was told that his son would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, conception at Pentecost is exactly what God would do. No doubt about it. He is so exact and detailed that it makes my head spin sometimes at his awesomeness. Now, before we read in Luke, let me reiterate. The week of their service began every Sabbath. They would repeat the same order beginning on the civil calendar or the second 6 months of the year. So twice a year, the head of each priestly family would take his turn to serve in the temple, plus three more times at the major festivals. Now, the reason we know Luke is referring to the first set or the first half, and if I said civil calendar, I meant biblical calendar, of 24 weeks from Nisan, is that if it was the second portion, it would have said the second division. Instead, Luke said in the order of his division, which always means the first month of the biblical calendar and not the seventh. So those little hints are things that we can figure out. The other reason we know is Jesus could not begin his ministry till the age of 30, which his birthday had to be then at Tabernacles, since he died at Passover and his ministry was 3.5 years. Again, more dots. Luke had to be referring to the first set of weeks beginning in Nisan. Also, we know from Luke that John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus. And we will cover this again as we get closer to Tabernacles, of course, which is the real Christmas. But let me give you one paragraph synopsis. Since we know what week of the year Zacharias served in the temple, we can know that John the Baptist was conceived at Pentecost and born at Passover and therefore circumcised on the last and eighth day of the season. And because of that information, we can also know Jesus' birth at Tabernacles with his incarnation 280 days before, which would take us to Hanukkah. Actually, on the eighth day of Hanukkah, which we know Jesus' number is 8. Now, let's read it in Scripture and hopefully put it all together for you, beginning in verse 5 of Luke chapter 1. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, now most Bibles at this point should footnote Chronicles 24 on how to see what week of the year this is. I hope yours does. If not, write it in. And verse 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And another note on this is they would cast lots to see who would have the privilege of burning the incense in the holy place. It's kind of unusual to get picked, and some never did. But God wanted him to do it, for the angel Gabriel would come to him with an important message. It's amazing. And verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Again, fitting that it would be during Pentecost that he would be conceived. It just makes sense. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Okay, so the story goes on that Zacharias questioned the angel, so he was struck dumb temporarily. But let's look again at, as I already mentioned, verse 23 and 24. So it was, as soon as the days of his service was completed, that he departed to his own house. And it says, now after those days, again, those words are metatata, meaning immediately his wife Elizabeth conceived. All right. So we have to leave it at that. And again, Zacharias remained mute until John came. I hope that blessed you, and I just want to say, hope you come back next week. We'll have more good learning. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Is your heart circumcised, and how well do you know him? He's your Savior who has paid your debt, or do you want to pay it yourself? It's your choice who pays. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Don't wait any longer. He's even asking you, why don't you accept my free gift, given in agape love of the highest kind? Till next week, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They really need it now. Those who love her shall prosper. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.